the image was lost. The image was distorted. The image was
writer and fermenter based in Derbyshire, UK. My work expands the visible life cycles of materials, particularly wild plants and post-consumer waste, as a way to connect with people and cultural practices that deal with food preservation and low-tech craft as tools for creative survival and late capitalism. I'm going to read two poems from my debut collection, Stewarding, which was released in 2024 by Monitor Books, based in London. Plum Tree. The plum tree broke under the downward force of a boom. It shed a limb with dramatic clout, smattering the gild with 1,000 gems still stemmed on maroon mauve fauvism. Many fruits dropped, gone to ferment, slope floor booms. An old bucket full to its broken brim. There's plenty left for birds, maggots, and acetobacteria. Next year's soil doesn't look like much. In the humid kitchen, our share of the spoils, the rubies wait to be polished. Bugs leave the fire door politely. Now the wash, grasses float up, silt sinks, plums betwixt. What natural order? It's wet across the realm when we pit them with thumbs, now splayed like a world map or new wallet, baked low with homemade dusts all day long, uncut leather. Forgo chutney, it's overdone, brine the lookers with aromatics, clove anise pepper, wait for this, unmatched bite and queer tang. Strong smoked tea simmered with sugar, on those pretty pits for kombucha, 7 warm days and a scoby later, it's alive. Strain and bottle with extra berries and used plastics, squeeze before closing, then watch them carbonate, it's just lactobacillus letting rip. Whatever's left over after finishing in the kitchen, whether blemish, snotty or surplus, joins the closed-loop compost pile, my crop promise. Like the tree, I dropped everything to be with fruit, inspected the break, pruned her neatly with serrated saw, pasted on my lip balm, beeswax one I made with calendula for protection. Can't help myself. Nothing seems more urgent than preserving. Writing can wait, but hungry yeasts will not. This is called Community Crowd. G gleaned a substantial loot from Rosamond Market Garden. He couldn't sell split cabbages to fussy customers and drove them to burnout allotments and boxes. Once everyone arrives, we start on the decking, eyes squinting in the rain while I'm trying to explain my affinity with microbes, the friendship I began with microbiota one chaotic evening years ago in Hastings. I recite a poem about nothing being everything, it's always now or something. Then we strip the brassica of their dirty and bruised jackets, tatty edges and aged nubs, hearing them squeal in delight. In the cabin, guests stand around the trestles with knives unsheathed and boards secured with slabs of wet kitchen towel. We quarter the heads and slice so finely it creates noodles, tinsel, paper trim from the guillotine, fill the bowls quick, peat leaves and cores, 2% salt. We don't need a calculator. That's 20 grams of salt for an average cabbage. That's 2 level tablespoons for every kilo. The type of salt isn't relevant. Pink Himalayan is a boast. No one really buys that. I demonstrate how to massage the cabbage evenly and firmly to extract water from turgid cells, grey crystals, shred cytoplasm, perfunctory osmosis requests. I'm sharing personal data with plants. My fingertips deposit skin and yeasts, countless wild animals compounding compassionate metamorphosis for health and wealth, for kin or market. Minutes later, the brine creates a moment of drama, and despite the basic chemistry, it still splashes fantastically. I wipe down the table in preparation of next steps. We stuff fists of fermenting sterile jars in stages to expunge oxygen pockets to prevent spoil. Inside our jars, the brine rises, not ominously, it's supposed to. Leaves earlier cast off now squeak against glass as they are depressed on soggy, salty plants, and the lids are cleaned and screwed on, one-way valve. We hand over operations to time, supported by recalcitrant conspirators, lactobacillus, the silent anaerobes, the sugar metabolizers. The community crop has long been finished. It ferments in a photo sent to me by G of 2 tubs atop a washing machine, little gut sense generators, evangelical as the Avon lady.
Give a round of applause. And in the right corner, we have, you may have heard of Mohammed or the Ali, but we have tonight Mohammed AliExpress. All right, let us begin. modern day Colosseum. I'm lost for words. Just take a breather. Think of all your loved ones.
amazing thing was when I saw when this proposal came through in the open call, was that around the same time, in the same open call, was somebody else who proposed a performance where it was just kissing. And we accepted that too. Unfortunately, that answer pulled out. So I'm sorry that we didn't get to put these two things right next to each other like I flagged. One more time for Knock Dieter.
Thank you for calling viewers. You are now about to hear a choice menu. Entrance, it looks. Okay, everyone, how are you holding on? Yeah? Okay, well, you will be stuck with me for the next, probably at this point, 27 minutes, because I have half an hour. And for those who don't know me, it's pretty easy. I have a concept, revolutionary concept in it being not new at all, but in this age of social media, I decided that I wanted to reintroduce the OG way of doing social media, which is, can someone screen it? Screen. Okay, hotline. This is why my show is called Le Téléphone Rose. It is mostly on Radio Worm and on Operator Radio. And initially, I have to say the show was called like that because I've been told as a teenager that I had the voice suiting a hotline. And let's say I just took it by the word and I turned it into my own radio show. But this summer I had a crazy idea. What if I actually opened my own hotline? So it took a lot of research, a lot of research, like a lot. You don't understand. I had to call at least 3 different telecom companies to set up this phone number. And here we are. It's been up for a few months now. And the concept is that for each radio show, a thing comes up. And for this one, for the first time, I wrote a question beforehand. And usually I have a guest. I see in the back, dear Timothy. Can you have a big shout out to Timothy, who's been my very recurring guest on the show for quite a while. And I feel a bit stiff somehow, I'm stressed, but I put on my pajamas because it's midnight and usually I'm sleeping at the time, believe it or not. And I thought that for this show I would completely be chill or get in my chillest mode so that it could be an open-hearted conversation for now, I guess, the next 25 minutes. The concept is easy. I gave you some posters. I also spent half an hour in the Wonder Bar going to talk to people and trying to get them to call me. And I guess people are shy because let's see if anyone called. Did someone call?
I called.
Oh my God, I have a voice message. Okay, are you ready? Can I put it on? I have not listened to it yet. It's gonna do a big phone call thing, but you know.
Something you thought would happen. It's about losing someone you thought you would be. And people tend to think about grief as losing someone. But that's how it is. Now we are shouting out to Timothy, so let's do that.
The person who called kind of revealed already who they are. My first idea was to kind of discuss the voice messages, but I struggled to understand that one. So if you are down, would you like to come to the front, to the mic, and to re-explain this? You can also say no, and if you will, then Can we have a shout of applause for this person? So great. Phone is turning live. You're doing like phone and at the same time live. Okay. What's your name? And the question, as if you haven't seen it, is how do you love through grief?
So I was in the bar. And we don't briefly, my father performed here, and when we shared the poster around the group that I was with, like, everyone was thinking about losing someone, and my message was about the grief of losing something that you thought you would be, someone you thought you would be, something that you thought would happen. I myself last year like found out something about myself that I'm not super ready to share with a group that I don't know. But I I was really confronted with the idea of grief as not as a loss of a person, but a loss of something that you thought would be. And that's what my message was about. And it was just now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Round of applause for the panelists and for the show.
I think I forgot to say my name. My name is Delilah.
Thank you so much. Delilah, this actually resonates to one of the triggers for that question. I have a tendency to listen to the French radio when I am cooking in the morning or when I'm busy in the kitchen. And this morning they had one special part about something that they call white grief. And white grief would be the kind of grief you have for someone or something who or which is not dead yet. So if you think of someone, you can think of someone who has a kind of illness and who might be in terminal phase, or the kind of illness where the person you knew is gone already. And you are facing this new person and the reality that this version you will also have to grieve it soon, so you start grieving in advance, and that would be white grief. And before this, I went to the funeral of a place where I spent a lot of time, Rotkapje, or more Burger Truths, if you know, you know. I had the last kapsalon there, which was delicious. And I realized that a lot of, already two things had been around grieving and mourning and death and funerals. And then I also realized that somehow it's a theme that had been on my mind a lot the past few weeks, actually, maybe the full year, and I mean, maybe that's just around in the time, but that's how I choose a theme usually for the show. That's how it came about. Usually some things kind of stick up and then boom, there's a theme. And today it seems to be grief, but also love, because when I was at that funeral, I actually mentioned this already. And then the previous chef came to talk to me, and she told me, but in that sense, grief is also a form of love. And then she mentioned that she had been also grieving her past job and her past self, and that she found that to accept that grieving, she had to find a different way to love herself and to love life. And
By the way, I'm gonna keep blabbing because that's what I do on the show, and this is just a live version of the show. So now you get to see me while I get into the scribble, blah blah blah. But I want to say that if you want to call from this room, feel free, because I am very, very, very willing to create feedback. So we will create real feedback. I think I made that joke another time when I was on stage, but it's okay. You know, when you call someone and you're in the same room, it's like a really funny echo. So if someone does that, yeah, I can I can give you a sticker. Yeah, or a CD. Yeah. But otherwise, I will keep talking. And you know what? Normally, it's all about calling, but I feel like changing the rules. If you just feel like saying something, because it's an open heart conversation, and imagine we are on a luscious feather bed, all of us are like the best bed you can imagine, and we're just closing our eyes or opening our eyes and dreaming and talking about all this stuff. So if you feel like joining this monologue, you can just raise your hand and join in. But you can also listen, close your eyes, or you can go get yourself a drink. But what was I saying? I lost the track. It's okay. Thank you very much. So when I was trying to get people out there,
one person asked me, but why? Why would you love through your grief? And I was already about to answer, and I was like, I'm gonna keep it for the show, call me, but the person didn't call me. Sad. But I think this relates to what I would answer to, why would you love through grief? And to why this question flows by itself. I think it also goes back to that discussion I had earlier with this chef. And what if love was the way to go through grief, accepting the love? So I think maybe that to stop smoking, you have to be super, super aware of how much you love smoking. I don't think I would be great advice for this kind of topic. Yeah, maybe you have to get a fake cigarettes. You know, like the chocolate ones. Yeah. And just carry them. Just, or the powder ones are really cool. You can pretend that you are
a lolly.
Are a lolly.
Okay, that's what makes the movements?
Yeah, you can still make the movements with the lolly. Yeah. Or a toothpick. Or gums. The thing is, like, you give up one addiction, you might find another one. And hey, that's a thing, right? Trauma bonding, you know, grief bonding, I think it's a thing. You also want to avoid that. So don't grief bond with a new addiction, you know? I think you really have to completely, completely, completely go through that grieving process, accept that it's going to hurt, it's going to suck for maybe even a year. It might be really difficult for a time, but at some point, you will accept the new you who is not smoking, because this one also exists in a different dimension. Yeah, that's Dr. Rihanna's advice. I have a new message.
About loving through grief, and a big way that for me this is practice is in me wearing certain clothing items where I wear them all the time and they remind me of that person. An example of this is my bandana, which used to be the clothing, the pocket square that my father used to wear when he wore suits out, and he always used to wear suits, like was a real dandy kind of individual right there. But yeah, it's really interesting to see different ways in which love can be explored, because at the end of the day, grief is an extension of love. Often either a person is lost or a person is not lost, however the person is no longer accessible. So I'm curious, how do you do this?
Thank you. I was going to ask for a round of applause, but I think the silence is also a beautiful way to appreciate this message. Yeah, I have nothing to add, to be honest. This was really personal, and it shows there are so many different, I don't want to say levels, aspects of grief, maybe depths of grief. And I see I have like 2 minutes left, so let me close on why did I ask this question? Grief, death, how depressing. I'm sorry I threw those stickers at the start of the show. I was grieving, trying to like turn into a character, but I'll always end up realizing that the best way to be on stage is to forget about being a character. But grief, death, New Year, that's been my obsession the past few weeks. That for me, the New Year is actually still starting, or started on Monday. And I had a discussion on Monday about Chinese New Year starting the 17th of February, and then you also talked about, I believe, Iranian New Year starting on the solstice. And it's just this thing of grief also being a new beginning, rough one, but I guess this is to accept, to kind of embracing or accepting or seeing the pain, the difficulty that can be through in grief, in any kind of grief, and to accept, to seeing the duality that there can be at one single moment. You can be grieving, but you can also have so much love. Or it can feel so dark, but sometimes you find one little sparkle of love. And this is to it being the middle of the night, and it's a new day, and I think my time is up, and a new performer is gonna come, and I am grateful for the space I have been given, and can we all say thank you to Ash for organizing this, and to Marco for also helping, and to Hiro, and to everyone who's been actually working on this. I don't think I can name everyone, and I just kind of want to start talking like this, and maybe someone else, the next performers, can fit in, or I can fit in, or something like that, because I don't really know how to end this, and I just kind of want to keep stop talking, and I think I'm just going to do that.